Now, as the seasons change, so does our cooking. Our next guest is here with a bunch of ideas on how to incorporate fresh local ingredients into comforting fall dishes and to keep the fun and comfort in our kitchens. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite things to make this time of year? What's on the menu tonight or this weekend? Is there a piece of fall produce that you always look forward to? And what is the ideal complexity of a recipe for you? Really fancy and fussy and highfalutin, or something you can handle, easy and fun? Maybe a little biased there. I don't know. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jennifer Rood-Klett is a freelance writer focused on Midwestern history, gardening, and food. She's the author of the cookbook Home Cooking Comeback. Her latest cookbook is called Home Cooking Comfort: More Neighborly Advice and Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be back on Central Time with Rob.
Yeah. And now there's two things I want to look at before we start checking out recipes. One, and I already knew this, you love using local seasonal ingredients. What are you excited about in the fall for local seasonal stuff?
Well, both cookbooks feature all foods grown, raised, or produced in Wisconsin. So it's very Midwestern, very Wisconsin cookbook. And in the fall, we look to root vegetables, apples, of course. And I like to incorporate a lot of oats with meals. So late crops of spinach and some of the cold crop things, soups, dry beans, chili. Rolls, this is the time of year when people can't wait to get inside and fire up the oven.
And why do you like cooking with seasonal stuff as much as possible?
Oh, because it provides the home cook with the absolute best possible outcome, without a doubt.
And you're really encouraging people to cook, period. You worry that we've gotten a little too in the habit of, restaurants, which are fine, and convenience foods, which you want to see us cook a little more or a lot more.
Yeah, I sure do. Home cooking is a skill, and it's kind of fallen off of late. A lot of young people don't know how to cook. And, when I wrote the cookbooks, I tried to keep the novice home cook in mind. And I know a lot of people have been trying it since the pandemic. But I also encourage people that have been cooking a long time to stay teachable, because I know from all the newspaper stories I've written, every single story I've written about food, and so many interviews I've done with food producers, I learn something every single time. So I would urge people to remain teachable. The other thing that's really timely right now is that the costs of everything are going up so much. And, I like going out for a Friday fish fry as much as the next person, but to cook at home, you can really save a lot of money doing it that way.
And another thing that I love about the book is, we can watch a lot of shows on TV where cooks are making this amazing looking stuff. And we might open a cookbook and there are these like brilliant, artistically laid out pictures of the fancy meal. You say we shouldn't be comparing ourselves. We can be okay with not being perfect in our cooking.
Absolutely. Home cooking is meant to be imperfect. It's by its very nature. Unfortunately, perfection has been thrust upon us so much in the society, and home cooking is, by its, again, nature, very imperfect.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jennifer Rood-Klett about her new cookbook, Home Cooking Comfort: More Neighborly Advice and Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What seasonal Wisconsin food are you enjoying? Maybe right now or planning to enjoy this weekend. What says comfort food to you in the fall? What do you love to cook or eat if someone else is cooking? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. By the way, we've got some recipes from Jennifer. You can find them at wpr.org/foodfriday. And Jennifer, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to start with dessert today because you gave us a dessert recipe, and you actually brought some of these in for us here. Oat cookies with browned butter cinnamon frosting.
Yeah, these have become the ultimate fall cookie. I've made them a lot recently. And, you know, I have to tell you, Rob, that this is the first time I've ever brought in a sample from something from the cookbook.
Oh, no.
And everywhere I go, people say, did you bring samples? And I say, no, I want you to cook at home. This is the goal here. But I felt that you broadcasting people here needed a little pick-me-up, it being Friday afternoon, and you've been working hard all week.
Yes. Well, and we do love our delicious treats here at Wisconsin Public Radio, for sure. Now, here's the oats you were talking about. And you're a big fan of oats. They're kind of a humble food, but can you talk about the versatility? What kind of different things can we do with our oats?
Yeah, I would encourage anybody to incorporate as many oats as you can in your recipes. And amazingly, oats were once shunned for human consumption. They were thought of as livestock feed, and they eventually became a food staple in Northern Europe, Ireland, Scandinavia, Germany, Switzerland, and came to North America in the 1600s. And it was an amazing nourishment for both of, for our soldiers during both of the world wars. Wisconsin is ranked number one for oat production. I did not know that prior to doing this story.
I should know that.
According to the USDA, and it also ranks first for number of farms growing organic oats, although a lot of that actually still goes to livestock. So for home cooks, you can encounter oats in many forms. The whole grain oat is called a groat, which is kind of a weird name. And if you cut that groat two or three times, you've got steel-cut oats is what you commonly see it as. And the home cook is probably very familiar with rolled oats. And the difference between the three is kind of the cooking time and the texture. And, of course, oats can be ground up and be used as flour, but there's no gluten in that, so you have to be careful if you are wanting a rise out of whatever you're baking.
My favorite go-to for oats is crisps, fruit crisps, apple crisp, peach, you name it. Throwing some oats and flour and butter together, that's like so easy. Like, I can do that by memory now. I haven't looked at the recipe in years.
Yeah. And one thing I should mention too, all of the information about my cookbooks are available on Amazon.com and at my website at jrootklet.com. There's direct links to purchase the cookbooks. And with oats, you know, typically you find rolled oats in the supermarket and they're fine. But if you ever head out to a farmer's market, especially tomorrow with some of the last ones going on, or even a winter's farmer's market is a good source for this. If you can score some local rolled oats or any type of oats, buy them because they are so much better. What happens when big manufacturers roll the oats, they often steam them and that extends the shelf life. So they're minimally processed and they're fresh and they're local. And there's quite a few oat producers, growers in the state. So if you can, they're going to be more expensive, but in my book, they're worth it. So if you can find them, buy them.
That reminds me, another ingredient you are excited about, and who wouldn't be? Garlic. And this is something we can pick up in Wisconsin this time of year. Talk about getting that fresh local garlic in the state.
So I did a story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last August, and that's right when the fresh garlic season begins. And I had previously used garlic in fresh garlic in my cooking, but I discovered that people go absolutely crazy over garlic. And the story ran right before a couple of big farms, or I should say a couple of smaller farms, had their big garlic sale opening up. And it caused almost a panic, on a run on garlic. People were just panicked that they weren't going to get their garlic. Garlic is one of those absolutely amazing things. And again, if you head out to a farmer's market tomorrow, see if you can find some. You can still get some from this season. So home cooks, you know, a couple of things you should know about garlic. Number one, it is an incredible food for boosting immunity. I mean, it's an antibacterial, it's an antifungal, it's an antivirus. And when you're using fresh garlic in the kitchen, it doesn't matter really if you chop it or press it or whatever, but it's got something called allicin in it, I've been told. And if you let's just say you chop the garlic, let it sit for 10, 15 minutes, it actually makes more allicin. So it actually becomes more healthful for you. And, you know, we grow garlic out at our farm. And there's a couple that I really like. I like, there's hundreds of types of garlics. And I really like Music, Georgian Crystal, Romanian Red, and German Porcelain. But to be honest with you, I've never had a garlic I didn't like. So, again, I can't emphasize enough, if you can get some local fresh garlic, buy it. And don't refrigerate it because it's going to want to sprout. Just keep it in a cool, well-ventilated place.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jennifer Rood Klett about her new cookbook. It's called Home Cooking Comfort. More neighborly advice and recipes from the farm kitchen of a Midwestern food journalist. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Well, are you a garlic fan too? Do you grow your own or buy it at a local farm stand or farmer's market? I'd love to hear what you like and what you're doing with it. In general, are you loving squash this time of year as I am? That's one of my favorite fall ingredients. Do you have a question for Jennifer about how to cook with some of the great local produce that's going on? What is your favorite thing to cook this time of year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Find a few recipes from Jennifer at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Jennifer Rood Klett. We're talking about fall seasonal cooking, home cooking, comfort food. Her new book is called Home Cooking Comfort, More Neighborly Advice and Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Looking to hear from fans of garlic and oats. And how about some lentils or any other fall produce here in Wisconsin that you love to cook, eat, maybe grow your own self? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes from our guest at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, we had fun with those cookies. Now let's get a salad in here. Jennifer, you gave us a apple arugula salad with fennel seeds and walnuts. Interesting combo.
Yeah, I really like this recipe because it's even though it's wonderful to eat apples out of hand or slice them up with some good cheddar cheese, it's also nice to have a recipe with apples that's not fattening. Mm-hmm. And this recipe is absolutely incredibly off the charts healthful for you. It calls for either arugula or spinach leaves, one apple chopped into bite-sized pieces, celery, extra virgin olive oil or walnut oil. I kind of have been liking walnut oil lately. A little bit of honey, lemon. That's your dressing you're going to be pouring on. And then after that, you're going to be applying some walnut halves on top. And then I really like fennel seed, dried fennel seed. So sprinkle a little of that on top with some Parmesan cheese. And this is so incredibly good in the fall with pork or bacon. Or any pasta that's got a little bit of Parmesan in, this is a great accompaniment for that.
Find that recipe online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Lac des Flambeaux. Mary, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to mention freezing garlic. I'm a big fan of America's Test Kitchen. They do all the testing, so we don't have to. And they've mentioned on a recent episode that freezing whole cloves, and then when you take it out of the freezer to use it, you can just grate it on like a microplane or, you know, the small holes of your grater. And I've done that because not all of us have a good way to store the wonderful garlic we get this time of year to keep it from sprouting. If you don't have a nice cool place for it, then freezing those whole cloves can be a good idea.
And Mary, we're peeling, I assume, the cloves before we freeze them? That'll make life easier, I bet.
I haven't.
Oh.
It's just not that much. I mean, when you grate a piece of garlic, if there's a little bit of the peel in there, by the time you're done cooking with it, it just doesn't matter.
Fair enough. Mary, thanks for sharing that. Freezing to keep that fresh garlic for the future.
Yeah, I had not heard of that. I think that's a wonderful idea. Anything you can do, but, you know, again, if you can score some local garlic, buy enough until next August. Seriously, mm-hmm. if you've got the space to store it or you can stick it in the freezer, absolutely stock up, because you're going to really appreciate that in January or February or March when you're looking to make some simple pasta into something wonderful.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Jane joins us now in Shawano. Jane, hi.
Hi, hello.
What's your produce, Jane?
Well, I've just started this past few years growing butternut squash and acorn squash, and I was so happy when I realized how easy butternut squash soup was, and I love it. And I at least make it once or twice in the fall. And also my acorn squash, I was looking up recipes and I found that I didn't realize you could just slice it and eat it. And I thought, you know, after you bake it with, you know, maple syrup or whatnot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was really pleased, and it's easy to do and I love it. And that would be my comment.
And how much squash are you growing, Jane?
Just like one plant of each.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't have a very big family. So, and also we have some friends that my husband works with that have fresh garlic, and I agree. Oh my gosh, very yummy.
Jane, thanks so much. I am a big squash fan. I have proven very bad at growing my own squash, though. Thanks for sharing that. What are Jennifer, what are some of your favorite ways to use squash in the fall?
You know, I kind of just bake it, cut it in half, and bake it. Jane mentioned maple syrup. I'm a huge fan of maple syrup, and we are really so spoiled and lucky that we live in Wisconsin. We have absolutely incredible food to choose from. There are incredible small maple syrup producers on all over the place. So that's something I really like with squash. I love squash. And another one I would suggest out there is delicata squash, which is among the easiest to, you know, scoop everything out and get it ready and throw it in the oven.
Yeah, and a big thing I'll do is cook down the squash, just bake it in halves, like you said, and then I'll let it cool, scoop it into a container, and so I try to have a freezer full to get me through the winter. Then it's easy to get out for soup is mostly what I'll do with it.
And it makes good baby food, too.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yes, I imagine it would. It is Food Friday. We are talking to Jennifer Rood-Klett about her new cookbook. It's called Home Cooking Comfort, More Neighborly Advice and Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Well, I want to get to the third recipe you shared with us, speaking of soups, a French lentil soup. Okay, this sounds fancy. It's not too fancy for Rob,
no,
though?
No, you know Rob. You know me. There's no fancy here. These are all real world recipes. And so my soup recipes are, I am very devoted to my soup recipes because they kind of bring balance and comfort and normalcy back to my diet, especially after the holidays when you're indulging in all this high calorie food and parties and open houses and dinners. And so you get back to your standard soups. I probably make 6 soups that I rotate, and French lentil soup is just a great soup to make right now. It calls for carrots, celery, onion, a little garlic, and I like to use low sodium chicken broth. And I like French, you know, I am calling it French lentil soup. That is a little bit snobby here. But I will say, if you can score some French lentils, they're a little bit smaller and they kind of retain their texture a little bit more than normal brown lentils. But the brown lentils are absolutely fine too. But if you can get the French ones, go for it. There's also a little brown rice in here, some thyme, some cumin. And then at the end, when everything is cooked thoroughly, you throw in a little handful of chopped spinach and parsley, and it's just wonderful. And of course, gets better with every reheat and goes great with some grilled cheese sandwiches or just some crusty bread. We are very partial to Madison sourdough, and so we typically have that with all of our soups.
Now, my favorite kind of soup that I make is, I call it fridge soup or freezer soup. I look and see what I have. See what's going to go bad soon, and then I work it into a soup. Do you have advice for people on, you know, not necessarily starting with a recipe, but starting with what do I got, what do I do with it?
Yeah, that this is one of my sayings, Rob. It's called move the merchandise in my kitchen. And I completely agree with what you just said, because I amaze myself that I've taken these things that I call half rotten. They're not really rotten, but you look in your fridge, what's got to go, you put it all in, and you're eating the soup, and you just can't believe how great it tastes.
Now, we just have a little bit of time left. I'm hoping you can give a pep talk to someone out there who might be listening, thinking, I wish I cooked more. I didn't really learn much growing up. What advice do you have for them to take the first couple of steps to home cooking?
I think it's important to remember that with home cooking, or with food, actually, you control everything you eat. And you can't say that about much in life. And I encourage people to think of it this way, that be the boss of your kitchen. You're in charge. Command and control. And allow yourself some time to calmly decide how you're going to feed yourself.
And you, just in our last half minute or so, you have a lot of fun cooking. And I know sometimes it can be stressful when you're trying to cook under a deadline. How do you keep it fun for yourself?
Oh, you just have to have a sense of humor with everything, Rob. But yeah, there is a little bit of pressure when you're a food writer and a food journalist, knowing that you have to make something and then you have to take a picture of it. And not only do you have to get the recipe right and it's got to be good, but that picture's got to be spot on.
Jennifer, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us in the studio today.
My pleasure.
That's Jennifer Rudklatt, a freelance writer focused on Midwestern history, gardening, and food. We talked to her on this week's edition of Food Friday about her new cookbook. It's called Home Cooking Comfort: More Neighborly Advice and Recipes from the Farm Kitchen of a Midwestern Food Journalist. Find a few of the recipes she shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. We got those oat cookies with brown butter cinnamon frosting, the French lentil soup, but it's not too fancy, and the apple arugula salad with fennel seeds and walnuts, all again at WPR.org/Food Friday.